Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. You want to get in touch with us? You can always call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines.
Thank you.
At 800-636-1067. Coming up this hour, RG3 joins us in about 20 minutes. We'll get his take. I thought Kime brought up an interesting point to ask Robert. You got to ask it kind of delicately, in that Robert was a guy who lost some athleticism. How did he adjust his game? And he's saying it's becoming obvious Carson is not the athlete that he was when he used to destroy Redskins.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think you can ask Robert that question.
I think it'd be very difficult to ask.
I don't think you can. I don't think we should. I don't think Robert thinks he's lost any of his athleticism.
Right.
He certainly doesn't when it comes to like people posting his running.
He wouldn't admit that. Yeah.
I'm not going to ask him that.
But we will talk to RG3 coming up at 9:20. We also have tickets to the Caps home opener, which we will give away later this hour. They open up against the Bruins at Capital One Arena October 12th. That is 9 days away.
Speaking of
openers, the Wizards are not that far away from opening their season. They had two in Japan, and I had to check, EB, do you know what Johnny Davis's numbers are?
Why are you burying the kid before he even plays in a real game?
Because it's funny.
Can I get credit for it?
EB buried him first. And
I saw him right away, and I was stunned.
All right, so the first preseason game,
he was 0 for 5.
He was 0 for 5. Do you know what he was in the second?
No.
0 for 7.
Whoa.
That's bad. 0 for 12?
0 for 12.
Listen, I'm all about role players. I like role players.
And
I just was under the impression he was way better than that when we drafted him. And he's not. His offensive game is challenged, to say the least.
He's a mid-range player. That's the way he was in college. He's a tough kid. He's going to work hard. He's not going to blow you away athletically.
But when you
He's got a mid-range game.
I understand when you say mid-range game, I know what that means, but I think that's code for he has no game because he has no offensive moves. He gets stripped.
He's not real quick off the ball.
He doesn't have any moves.
What are his strengths?
Defense.
He's a good defensive player.
Remember they said he was tough?
Rebounding.
Smart player.
I think he said he had that dog in him.
Remember he's a good rebounder for a guard?
Okay.
Yeah. You know what?
Versatile combo guard, 1-2, plays point guard and the shooting guard.
He looks like the ninth man.
He's like a role player. He's going to be a backup point guard.
Well,
that's what he's going to be.
So what happens when you don't tank, right? Kicks? You bring it up all the time.
Everybody mocks me when I say you got to be really bad for a while to get the transformational pick, which they never
You can't get your Ivy at number 9 or 10.
Somebody from 9 on or 10 on that's better.
There's usually one, but they never find them.
They never find them.
Couple stories to get into, non-Commanders related. This one wasn't a surprise, and I don't fully understand it, but I'll read you the story. Antonio Brown is in trouble again. The former Steelers wide receiver made headlines for exposing himself to a random woman in a Dubai hotel pool. But he took to social media to defend himself, and this is where I don't really understand. He goes, "My name more precious to be diamonds and gold. Y'all keep playing with my character. They tried to bury me." By the way, he spelled it B-A-R-R-Y. "Forgot I was a seed. It's crazy to me that even after I retire, there is disinformation coming up about me. Ironically, during a time when the NFL is getting heat for allowing players to play when they're clearly concussed, they've been using black men as guinea pigs. Every chance they get to sway the heat off themselves, they use me. In the video, you can clearly see she runs off with my swim trunks. If roles were reversed, the headlines would read, AB having a wild night with nude female. Yet when it's me, it automatically becomes a hate crime."
So is he trying to say that she took off his swim trunks and that's the reason
she stole his shorts?
He was exposing himself.
Is that what they're saying?
To people in the pool?
Sounds like what he's saying.
Now, the New York Post reports...
What's he doing in Dubai?
...that Brown was engaging with a female guest in the pool, but did not have clothes on. With a crowd of men cheering him on, the former wide receiver proceeded to lift himself out of the water and shove his butt in the woman's face.
I did see that portion of the video. And I did see the blurred out portion where he has his unit in his hand, and he's showing it to everybody that'll look at it in the pool. You think he doesn't have CTE? You're a crazy person.
Yeah, well,
I
You have to ask him to leave the hotel. If he's doing that, he's got to go.
Afterward,
in fact, he probably has to leave the country.
Probably has to be arrested.
Afterward, they say Brown attempted to wrap a scarf around the woman's head. She then snatched the scarf away from her head, which prompted him to lift her out of the water and slam her head first into the pool like he was spiking a football, according to the story. Once she came above the water and cleared her eyes, Brown leaned on the side of the pool and raised his junk above the water. According to the Post, he then asked, "You want it?" According to report, the woman was upset and complaining after the incident and the hotel and asked Brown to leave.
Here I was.
There's also
thinking the biggest hazard at a pool is somebody bringing like a glass bottle to the pool. It's bringing Antonio Brown to the pool is the big hazard.
There's also the troll Post. Did you see what he did concerning Brady?
I did not.
Just a total troll.
Well, actually, I did see
since
it.
He's kind of broken up with Tom Brady, like they're best buds.
Yeah.
I think he was living in Tom Brady's house for a while.
He was.
He just randomly either tweeted or Instagram post of a picture of him hugging Giselle.
Yeah. But he was fully clothed in the
picture.
He
was fully clothed. It was probably after the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But it's a picture of Giselle and Antonio Brown hugging.
Are we just going to gloss over the fact that he has a massive hog?
I didn't see it. There was a lot of blur.
I mean,
there was a picture. So they blurred out the picture of him fondling himself.
Yeah.
But the blur is as big as the picture.
Well, doesn't he have a picture where supposedly his junk was out at
Somebody cracked the code.
You don't see his face. No, I think it was at a gym, and they determined it to be his gym. It was with the porn star. I remember us talking about
it. Yeah, you could see his watch and his like hand tattoos.
Yes,
it was almost like he was stretching it out.
Outrageous. You know, he's going to end
up doing the tug. He's doing the tug.
Yeah.
He's going to end up in porn or prison.
After he seeps, he picks her up and throws her in the pool. She clearly wants nothing to do with him. She runs away from him.
Right. He did the reverse Buffalo Bill.
She wants nothing to do with Antonio
Brown. Did she want something to do with him before that?
I don't know. It just got out of hand?
I think so.
Probably.
Maybe it was uncomfortable laughter by her part, but he was way too aggressive.
It was like a hookup gone wrong.
So he slams her in the pool, and then she swims away.
Well, she just slammed him. He just slammed her.
Right.
Yeah. But
she
maybe
wants
up
nothing
until
to do with
then,
we don't know what happened
before.
Considered
it flirting. I mean, if she pulled his shorts off,
it looked like.
Do you believe that she pulled his shorts off?
If I was having trouble swimming in the pool, I'm grabbing for his hog to bring me to the side.
It's like a ladder. You know what it really looks like?
It's your personal life vest.
Yeah. It looks like the biggest snorkel known to man sticking out of the water. Like somebody's doing laps, scuba laps.
Yeah, but it's. It's not colored like most scuba apparatus.
You don't think
usually
case?
They're like neon green.
Hey, I would have thought. I would have thought that was a pool noodle.
flesh
colored pool noodle.
Is there an uncensored video anywhere?
You think I wasn't spending my entire Saturday looking for that?
He has a screenshot of it on his phone. He has to at this point.
But his defense is she pulled his shorts off, right? That's his defense.
That's the story that he's running with.
The video's pretty obvious that he's just a psycho.
Remember, he had the incident with the... Yeah, he's definitely putting his butt in her face. But she's laughing at that point.
Right.
Remember the incident, where he had the massage therapist or somebody where he just went to town and made a mess on her? Remember that allegation?
Yeah.
Prison! I mean, that's a prison!
That could easily be uncomfortable laughter by her. I mean, she's just some woman in a pool, and he's just being, like, wacky, and he goes... Way too far.
What are the chances of running into Antonio Brown at a Dubai pool?
Apparently he was there for a Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight or something. He's doing some exhibition.
Two awful people hanging out with each other.
That's his boy.
Doesn't surprise me one bit.
Right. He slammed her. But that's in the water.
Watch.
Yeah, she's out of there.
She's out of there.
Yeah.
She wants nothing to do with him after that happened.
Did you see the blurred picture yet, Eric?
Yes, I mean, I see. Yeah, I know. It's a massive blur. He couldn't be on Naked and Afraid.
Right.
It's too big a blur.
I mean, it looks like the Burj Khalifa sticking out of the pool. Yeah.
And then again, he's
Tom Cruise is jumping from
it. He's got major issues. He's trolling Tom Brady with the picture. Did you see the picture that he posted with him and Giselle?
Yeah, I saw
that.
And
he says, put that S on. Not sure what that means.
That's his hit song that everyone's doing the touchdown dance.
Yeah, the dance.
It's a hit song.
What's his dance?
It's not?
The dance? Where are you going like this?
You guys are so not with it.
Let me hear this hit song.
You can't play it.
We have lives. We have lives.
Well, I guarantee it's a terrible song.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, it's got to be awful.
It's a popular song.
Hold on. There's not a radio edit of it anywhere in the world?
I don't think it's on radio.
Yeah, it's not on radio.
Well, somebody, I'm sure, has played it on the radio, right?
It's just whatever all the kids are... You know, listening to it's on all the TikToks. Anyone who scores a touchdown is doing the thing with their fingers.
Okay,
you guys are just out of it.
Yeah, you know what? Glad to be out of it.
I'm now seeing I see Josh Allen doing it. It's all on his Instagram. People are doing it.
You know what? Glad to be on the outside of whatever Antonio Brown is doing with his life at this point.
All right, I guess we have to listen to it during the break. Can you do a bleeped version during the break? Is it possible?
Probably
after
not.
Robert,
can we put that S on?
Yeah, I want to put that S on. I want to hear it. You can bleep it. You've done it before.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's the dance you're talking about again?
Oh, it's just
what was the dance that Zach Wilson was doing?
This is the put that S on.
It's
just Justin like you Jefferson said. People dance. Waving
the gritty.
The gritty. That's the gritty.
They're still doing it.
Mm. Here, I'll show you the Josh Allen.
The gritty's
version.
Still hot. Apparently,
it's just this.
No, it's so stupid. I can't believe how dumb the world is.
We're old. We're not going to embrace that.
But I think he's like making money from his music. Like he actually is, right?
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's performing, it's like it's
he's
a thing.
He's like performing with Kanye.
It's like a thing.
It's a thing. Yeah,
I know. Like Bad Baby.
Yeah,
your girl Bad Baby.
Oh, no. She's making millions on what? Like OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, but she did it a lot with her music, too.
You have a membership. No. You are the biggest fan.
I have no OnlyFans memberships. 100%.
Not even for Bad Baby.
I take a free password, though.
I'm sure you would.
Is there a site with free OnlyFans passwords, Valdez? You'd be onto that if there was, right?
It sounds like you know.
No, I don't know. I don't. I have no passwords. I have zippy passwords.
Don't you just wait till the hub releases it? Probably all makes
eventually
it to the hub.
Eventually it'll get to the hub or right. Some other rogue like cam sites.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we will get back to the Commanders and get RG3's take on the last three losses in Carson Wentz. Welcome back, Junkies. Coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can catch us on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. We'll give listeners a chance to win Caps season opener tickets coming up in about 20 minutes. Joining us right now is our pal Robert Griffin III, former Washington quarterback. What's up, Robert?
What's up, guys? I love the intro song there. That was
Is that,
all right, hold on a second.
All right, stop.
Your audio is
our
bad.
Phones again? Yeah. Are they going crazy?
The phones are
Robert,
what
hold
we,
on.
What do we need to do? Do you call them back?
That sounded like
you get them on a different line.
I wouldn't even say a Darth Vader,
a
but
demon.
That's...
Yeah. We went from, like, spiritual music to demon-voiced RG3.
I actually thought that sounded like was doing a bit.
It sounded like those interviews...
Because it happened with Pete Haley, remember? Yeah.
Those interviews when they have, like, a... former cartel member that has to like be mob blurred
informant.
Out. Yes, a mob informant.
Sure.
All right,
we got Robert on now.
What line is it? Line two? Okay. Robert, are you there?
What? Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Hey, right. Sorry, man.
There you go. Just
sorry.
Some technical.
No, it's okay.
Technicals.
I was saying I love the intro song there. That was that was good.
Well, that's
really
what
good.
You get. That's what you asked for.
Yeah, that's what you requested.
But what do you play like when you work out?
You know, it depends. Like before a game, I'm more of a what you were just playing, like to calm down, you mm-hmm. know, be able to process everything as a quarterback. When I'm working out, you know, like in the gym, I'm not a heavy metal guy at all, but you know, let the bodies hit the floor definitely comes on every now and then.
That's a good
but
one.
I'm more of a upbeat guy, you know, rap music, try to get going, you know, lift to the beat. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to bench press to the beat, and when the beat drops, you put the weight up.
Maybe the Oklahoma right. defense should have listened to that.
Oh, my goodness. That was not a pretty sighting, guys.
That was awful. That was bad.
Was not. I knew TCU was dangerous, and, you know, we called that game, myself, Mark Jones, and Clint Kessenick, but
yep.
It got bad fast, and then Dylan Gabriel going down, just, you know, they think they did a good job keeping him out after everything we saw with Tua. Mm-hmm. The past week, so it was a great game for TCU, but it had everything, man, and that's hard to navigate when you're in the booth with the excitement for TCU and then the downfalls for Oklahoma, the injuries. Damon Harmon, prayers up for him, the safety who had the head and neck injury. It was just a lot, and you know, that's why being in that booth is a lot harder than people think. But you know, I think our team did a good job managing it.
No, you did a good job. So you fly into Dallas to do the game, and then do you leave right after the game and fly out to the West Coast since you guys are doing the Monday night stuff?
Yeah. So yeah. You know, it was an early game, so I stayed all of Saturday with the family, and then and then flew out here for my night countdown. So. Just busy time, but it's good to be busy, and I'm 32, so I gotta, you know, grind while I can, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're young. So let's get to the Commanders. They've lost three in a row, another poor performance by the offense. The offensive line looks terrible. Carson hasn't played well. We posed a question to our callers. How can they turn the season around? Because right now, the offense is sputtering, and Carson doesn't look good, and like I said, the line's playing terribly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, guys, when we said we were going to start doing this, I was really hoping that there would be more positive Mondays.
Yeah.
I think you know, had them as a sleeper Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, a sleeper Super Bowl contender. I feel like if Carson played to his abilities like he did in his MVP-like year, this team would definitely be pushing for that. And I thought if he just played like he did last year alone, they'd be a playoff contender. But that was before I realized that Carson's hair is red right now because he's under fire every time he drops back in the pocket. I mean, there's nothing that he can go through and process. They're trying to call some shorter pass plays for him, but even that, it's like 1.5, 2 seconds into his drop, he's getting pressure all over him. And I know last week was more of a week where you say, hey, you could probably put half of those sacks on Carson, if not more. But this week, it really wasn't that. So, to answer the question about what can they do to turn the ship around, I thought they had the recipe in this last game. They wanted to run the ball. You heard the running backs talk about it. I think they combined for 137 yards on 26 attempts. And they were running the ball effectively. You look at the touchdown drive that they did have. They ran the ball four times, only threw it three times, and Carson comes out and throws a beautiful ball into the end zone to Jahan Dotson. But the problem with that is the penalties. They had 11 penalties in the game for 136 yards. And there's two ways to really stop running the ball. One is to have negative plays that put you in long down and distances, that put you behind the chains and force you to have to throw the ball. And the other one is penalties. They do the same thing. And I think that's what we saw in this past game. It wasn't just Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and those guys getting after Carson Wentz and an offensive line not blocking. It was also the run blocking was great, but they kept getting behind the chains, and that kind of took them away from what they wanted to do. So you can't be an undisciplined team that wants to run the football because your offensive line isn't pass blocking. So if they clean up the penalties, I do think that they have to shift their focus from trying to get the ball to Terry McLaurin and Samuels and Dotson 5 to 10 times a game apiece and really lean on Gibson, McKissick, and now Williams. To run that football because it's going to protect that offensive line.
What can they do, though, when they do drop back and pass? Is it as simple as bringing a tight end in? Orlovsky pointed out on Twitter, you probably saw, where at one point, though, they had Logan Thomas matched up against Micah, and that's just not going to work. I mean, Logan's a former quarterback. And then Ron kind of revealed that Carson doesn't have the ability, essentially, or the freedom to audible at the line of scrimmage when you see an obvious mismatch like that. Could that simple adjustment help things in the future, or are they just not doing that? That's not a Scott Turner thing. It's not a Ron Rivera thing. They like to call the plays, and you just got to make your reads.
Well, I know this for a fact. There's really not anything as a quarterback that you can do when you bring a tight end to block, right? Mm-hmm. And you make it a six-man protection instead of a five-man protection.
Right.
If I see Micah Parsons over the top of Logan Thomas, there's not really much I can do protection-wise to get the blocking, to get out of that. So I know Dan Orlovsky and a lot of these guys, when they talk about tight ends blocking defensive ends, they don't like it. And it's really, I'm not going to say, it's really hard for a tight end to block any premier pass rusher. But that's why you're bringing them in there, to give you six guys. And usually you slide the protection to the tight end so that he doesn't really have a true one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
but he has help from that tackle. But defenses can do things to make it to where it is a true one-on-one, and you have, you know, six one-on-ones up front. And right now, Washington is just not doing a good job of blocking that. So for me, I look at this like, do what we did in 2012 when we knew that we didn't have the strongest offensive line. We ran the ball. We did play action off of the run, and we moved the pocket. Sprint outs, boots, nakeds, keepers. Those allow the offensive linemen to essentially, quote-unquote, take a play off, to where they're not having to pass set, you know, kick step back and try to block the best pass rushes this game has ever seen. Hmm. But that's a true identity shift for Scott Turner and this offense, because they want to drop back and throw the ball. And that, to me, is where you have to realize what the Cowboys have done this year. When Dak went out, they said, all right, I'm Kellen Moore. I want to throw the ball 40 times a game. I can't do that with Cooper Rush. I got to go here, hand the ball off to my running backs, move the pocket with Cooper Rush, and only drop back maybe 5 to 10 times a game, and only ask him to make 4 or 5 wild plays a game. Right now, Carson Wentz can't operate because he's not being protected. And then when he is protected, it's almost as if he's playing with no confidence and doesn't really trust what's in front of him. So how do you alleviate that? You run the ball, you move the pocket, because right now your offensive line just isn't getting the job done.
Talking to Robert Griffin III, and you allude to the 2012 season where maybe you didn't have a good offensive line, but you made adjustments. The difference that I would say is you had you and your athleticism, and it appears right now, because we all saw Carson terrorize this Washington team on a regular basis when he was in Philly, but it appears he's a lumbering guy now and not the same athlete.
Oh, man, I think that part of that could also be the play calling. You know, and I've seen some people say, hey, maybe they should get, you know, Heinicke back out there or bring in the young kid from North Carolina.
Howell.
You know, Sam Howell. The thing that I look at when I see that is, look, they're paying Carson Wentz way too much money. And he's had too many moments where you're like, oh, wow, what a throw, what a play for them to do that at this point.
Right.
And protecting him, yes, Heinicke might be a little more athletic. Sam Howell's definitely more athletic. We know that from what we saw in the preseason and from what I saw from him in college. But Carson's got to tap into that athletic side of him again. Right now, I think he's trying to play quarterback, and I just think they need him to play football. He's trying to stay in the pocket. He's trying to make his reads and his adjustments like a quote-unquote quarterback is supposed to from like the 1970s and 1980s. But when you look at the quarterbacks nowadays, the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons, the Kyler Murrays, all guys who are more athletic than Carson, but Carson's not a slouch as an athlete. He's got to be willing to put his foot in the ground and go out there and make plays with his feet. I think that'll also help this offense.
Joined on the BetQL guest hotline, as we are every Monday throughout the NFL season, by Robert Griffin III. What would be your best way to get the ball into the hands of Terry McLaurin? He's been underutilized in the offense. He needs to see more touches in this offense to get going. What would you do, or what would you talk about with the OC about getting Terry more involved?
Well, guys, I've always been saying this almost every call that Terry's not getting enough targets. In the past, he hasn't had as much competition, I would say, or for those targets. Like Curtis Samuel's now playing well, so he's getting some targets. You got Jahan Dotson coming on as a rookie. He's playing well. He's getting more targets. So I just think that the same way that they get targets to Samuel, I think you can do the same things with Terry McLaurin. He's not just a one-trick pony. He's not just a deep threat. He can run all the intermediate routes. He can run the quick game. But maybe they need to get him involved more in the backfield the same way that they do Curtis Samuel. Also, it could be that Carson Wentz couldn't find him in the game because he looked like a Pittsburgh Steeler out there on the field in those black mm-hmm. jerseys. So, I said this on Twitter. I thought they should have went with the burgundy numbers with the gold trim as opposed to the gold numbers, but because it definitely looked like Washington was stealing their look. But for me, I just look at Scary Terry as a guy that Carson has to get the ball to. That interception that Carson threw to Trayvon Diggs was the epitome of their season right now, just taking shots when they don't need to. Trayvon Diggs was off coverage, inside leverage, and he tried to throw a vertical ball on him when everyone in the world knows that Trayvon Diggs is pretty much a wide receiver out there. And in that situation, you don't make that throw. But I know Carson is now probably going to hear all of these complaints about not getting the ball to Scary Terry, and you don't want him to force the ball to him. But as a play caller, you have to have at least 10 plays in your bag that is going to get the ball to your best receiver, period, end of story. I don't necessarily put all of that blame on Carson for not getting the football. I think some of it is also game planning. And if I was the quarterback, I would be asking the coordinator, hey, Scott Turner, what are my plays for Scary Terry this week? Because he needs to get involved, because at the end of games, if he doesn't have enough touches, he's not going to really feel like he's impacting the game, and he should always be impacting the game.
Talking to Robert Griffin III, shifting gears to your former team, the Baltimore Ravens. 4 minutes left in the game. They're on the 2-yard line. It's fourth down, 20-20. Instead of opting for a field goal, they go for it. What'd you think about the decision and the Ravens blowing a big lead again?
Yeah, I mean, it was a John Harbaugh decision. You know, I was there for 3 years. I saw him make those types of decisions all the time, and they worked out, and nobody said anything. In this situation against the Buffalo Bills, he wanted to win the game in regulation. He knew if they scored a touchdown there, it was going to put a lot of fire under the Bills to go down against that, you know, Ravens defense and have to score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion to win the game. So he stayed aggressive. I know the team loves that aggressive side of him because it shows belief in them. But with all that said, he should have took the points. You're at home, take the points, go up 23-20, and allow your defense to use that crowd advantage. It was a torrential downpour at the game, right? A monsoon. Taking the points just changes the complexion of the game, in my opinion, and it makes them have to go score a touchdown to win as opposed to settling for a field goal. There's just so many things that go into that. It extends the game. You give yourself more of an opportunity to win. But the long story short is I know that Coach said it after the game. Hindsight is 20-20. He probably should have took the points. I think he should have took the points. But if I was on that field, just like Lamar has multiple times over the last couple of years, and Coach asked me, do you want to go for it? Yes. Yes, you want to go for it. No player is going to be like, yeah, let's settle for the points. Because you're not thinking in that way on the field. You're more so thinking, I'm going for the jugular. And I think that's what they did, and they just missed.
Robert, got to get your thoughts on tonight in San Francisco. Was a little surprised at the line. San Francisco is a slight favorite. I know Jimmy G has had success over the Rams, certainly in the regular season. Not in the playoffs, but in the regular season. They looked terrible offensively last weekend in Denver. I just kind of question the running depth that the Niners have now. I think that the Rams are going to get after Jimmy G. Hope I'm wrong on this. Home game, I get it. But, there's some key injuries there for San Francisco. What are you thinking about tonight's matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are some key injuries. Trent Williams, our guy, is out 4 to 6 weeks. He's the best left tackle in the game. I know Washington wish they still had him right about now. Mm-hmm. But the reason the 49ers are favorites is because they're 6-0 versus the Rams in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And Kyle, has continually out-coached Sean McVay and out-maneuvered him in their matchups. Now, they did beat them last year. The Rams did beat the 49ers last year in the playoffs. But my thought on this game is that if the Niners can shorten the game, go out there, get Deebo Samuel more involved, make Jimmy have to throw the ball 35 times, they feel like they can get the Rams out of rhythm. Right now, the Rams offense isn't that dangerous. They could be tonight, but they haven't really got Allen Robinson all that involved. Cooper Kupp had an off game last week and and Matthew Stafford's really not lighting up the stat sheets either. So even though the Niners aren't as dangerous and they did look really bad against the Broncos, there's still a feeling right now amongst pundits that the Rams aren't dangerous. So this is going to be an old-fashioned grudge match, and that 49ers defense is extremely, extremely dangerous, and that's why they've held most teams that they played to only a couple points. The other thing is Russell Wilson has mobility, and he used that in their last game to kind of help them on that last drive. Well, Matthew Stafford's not the same type of athlete. They don't have to truly account for him using his legs as much as Russell did. Mm-hmm. So to me, this game is a toss-up. Neither team really looks that great at this point in time. But the physicality from the 49ers is always a thing that has trumped the Rams.
Hey, real quick, I know we got to let him go. Will you just give us a prediction? What's your instinct on the Tennessee matchup with the Commanders?
I actually think the Tennessee game plays more into Washington's hands because De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen have really been playing their tails off. So the Titans are going to lean on the running game with Derrick Henry. You know, Ryan Tannehill's not going out there and throwing the ball all over the place, which is where Washington's really, really struggled with giving up big plays. So I think they actually have a better chance at beating the Tennessee Titans than they have many of the teams they've faced already. I still can't believe they allowed Cooper Rush to break the pocket and throw that touchdown to Michael Gallup. But at the end of the day, they lost that game. It was Cowboys, Commanders, and it's always something unexpected that happens in those games. But with the Titans, if they stop the run, I think they got a great chance. And I think those two big boys up front are playing their way. You know, both of them are playing like Pro Bowlers right now. So it's not the defensive line's fault for what's happening on defense. The DB's got to step up and start making plays down the field.
Oh, one last thing, Robert, because I saw you having a lot of fun with it on Twitter. What'd you make of DK's mad rush to the bathroom?
I mean, I put out a tweet at first, you know, saying prayers up because you see him go into the locker room. He looks a little down. You know, you hate seeing guys get carted off, and then found out through the broadcast that, you know, he just had to go take a dump. And, you know, listen, he said that clinch walk wasn't gonna keep it going, and if he took a couple more steps trying to walk to that locker room, he probably would have pooped in his pants. So I've never seen anything done like that. I've seen guys pee on the sideline, but I've never seen a guy get carted to the locker room because you got to go poop. We saw Lamar run to the locker room because he had to go poop.
Right.
Yep.
Well, do we know that he didn't actually? Maybe he did poop, and that's why he got carted, because he didn't want anybody to see.
Maybe he had to go change his pants. That has happened in the game before. I won't mention who it was, but I had a receiver who did poop in his pants on the field in Washington and had to go to the locker room and get it changed out.
Oh, so, now we got to figure that out.
Man, a veteran good. Or a guy that was just here for a second?
Oh, no, it was a guy. He was there for a good bit.
My money's on Deshaun Jackson out late partying the night before.
Is that Deshaun. Him? Was that him?
No, it was not Deshaun.
All right.
Guys, I got to go. You try to figure out who pooped in the pants, okay?
All right, Robert. We'll talk to you next week.
See you later.
All right, guys. God bless. Right.
That's Robert Griffin III. Joins us every Monday.
We got to figure out who that
is. I know what we're doing next segment.
Coming up next, we do have our Monday night parlay, so we will try to hit it big. And we have tickets to give away to the Cap season opener. Keep it here. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can catch us on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington on another Misery Monday presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2022 top workplace. Visit MIOScareers.com. We will give you a chance to win some Caps tickets coming up, but time now for our Junkies Monday Night Parlay presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of 106.7 The Fan.
Yes, all about FanDuel. Throw it on my account here. A little same game parlay for Monday night. Rams, Niners in San Francisco. San Francisco lays 1.5. point and a half. Your total is 42.5. Money lines are 104 for the Rams plus, and the Niners minus 122. All right, Valdez, you want to start us off?
Tip of the spear, Valdez.
All right. Well, we were notified of your play, Jason.
Why? Were you going to go opposite of it?
Well, it had to do with the opposite.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to pivot. But Drab and I have a combo play because two heads are better than one.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we both feel like there's going to be a defensive score this game.
Okay.
And especially by the winning team. And then in my brainchild came up with the idea of it being the last score of the game. So Jimmy G trying to drive down the troops down 10 with a minute 50 to go, throwing a pick to Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey running it in the end zone. That's the last touchdown of the game. So Rams defense to score the last touchdown. It's 34-1.
So this is a bit season play.
Where is that? I have no idea where to find
it. All
that.
Right, I won't worry about my pick.
Same part. Of it.
Yeah, you can do whatever.
It happens though.
Carte blanche.
Sure it does.
Great. We weren't worried about your pick either.
Okay. I just tried to pick something that's going to hit, but okay. Go ahead.
Spin the wheel.
34-1.
Plus 3,400. It's juicy if it hits. It can hit. Gives you something to root for.
See in our brains, we had San Fran winning.
Mm-hmm.
But San Fran scoring the last touchdown on defense didn't make sense if the Rams were winning.
Okay.
Which is Jason's play. So let's get to Jason.
Well, mine's an emotional hedge play. So I'm taking the Rams to snap the 6-game losing streak in the regular season plus 104 against the Niners tonight. That's my play.
Okay. Rams money line.
Rams money line plus 104.
Your hedgy poo.
Yeah, a little emotional hedge play. You know, it happens. I mean, the Niners' offense was just so bad last week. I guess they're going to look better at home, but, man, they were bad. All right, so let's go to Bickle.
All right. He's only got one touchdown on the year, but he's a huge part of the offense. So I'll go Deebo Samuel, anytime touchdown, plus 120. Hopefully that happens. Got a chance to score either running or catching cakes. Hopefully he touches the ball like 10 times or so.
He's multidimensional, that Deebo.
All right.
Plus 120.
Plus 120. Get a little plus money. It's not plus 4 million, but...
He's the West Coast version of Curtis Samuel. Deebo Samuel.
He's the best version.
Well, that's kind of what I was hinting at.
He'll probably get 4 to 5 rushing attempts.
And 4 to 5 receiving attempts, right? Touch the ball 10 times.
Yeah, hopefully more. Hopefully more.
Yeah.
All right, who's up?
You are.
All right, I'm going to also go with an anytime touchdown score. I'm going to go with George Kittle. It's plus 190.
I saw
one of the best tight ends in the game.
Right.
Let's go with the Kittle anytime touchdown.
Why are they laughing? Are they predicting what our picks are going to be?
No, we're just betting against each other. This parlay is literally impossible.
Of course
you guys got the Niners scoring 100 points.
Yeah,
Rams scoring last touchdown.
Yeah.
You got two touchdowns from the Niners. That's it.
I mean, I think of Kittle and Deebo. That wouldn't be shocking if they scored. They can't score 14 points.
Hey, look, we've tried this about 100 times and only hit 12.
I think it's more realistic that Deebo than Jalen Ramsey would pick 6 at the end of the game.
Yeah, well, obviously.
It could also be a fumble recovery to end the game.
That's true.
There's
a
lot of ways to score defensively.
And it doesn't have to be Jalen Ramsey, right?
Nope.
It's anybody.
Yeah, it's anybody. I'm putting the scenario where they're...
Where it could be a special teams. Could it be a kick return?
No, because I believe it's just defense.
It is.
Okay. Maybe the... I don't see why they would. The Niners take a safety at the end of the game.
Would that count?
Yeah, that would count.
Sure. That would count.
Yeah, maybe just to
end the game. Except you're running the clock out like the Ravens did in the Super Bowl.
Like, they're up like 11 or something.
I mean, I don't know why they would.
It's a touchdown.
Yeah, huh?
It's not a safety. It has to be a touchdown.
I thought it was just last score.
It's got to be a touchdown.
Last touchdown.
Okay.
All right, who's up next? Am I up?
Yeah, I think you.
Hold on.
That's the only one left.
Oh, because they're doing
a combo. Yeah, we did a combo.
So is that...
Hey, okay. And speaking of gambling, we should give Cakes props because all we do is crush Cakes anytime he gets anything wrong.
Right.
But Cakes had his all in play on the Terps under.
I did.
And that came through on Saturday.
Lucky. I got lucky because they looked like they're going to score 1 million points after
it
three
was
drives.
Definitely dicey. Yeah.
Even though his
entire rationale was wrong, he still hit it.
He also finished like 24th out of 100,000 people in that fantasy thing. Did you guys hear about that?
A DFS sweat. I turned $1 into a hundo over the weekend.
Sweet.
That's
good.
Not bad. Literally, how many entrants were there?
119,000.
He finished 24th.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the one with the botch of Jamal Williams?
No, that was different. No,
that was something different.
Different sweat.
Real quick, before you give us our pick, 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with those tickets to the Capitals versus Boston Bruins at the Capital One Arena, October 12th, 7 p.m. Capitals home opener is presented by Geico. Rock the red carpet starting at 3 p.m. featuring player arrivals, fan activations, and more. You can buy your tickets now at washcaps.com/tickets.
All right, time's back running to out. Kim Akers, anytime TD score, plus 190.
All right, $6 pays $5,268.
Wow.
That is a
we'll take it.
Spicy one.
Root for the defense.
Yes.
The end of the game.
Impossible.
Go to Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, we're going to hit it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to hit it.
So we need tonight. Kittle, Akers, and Debo, and the Rams D all to score touchdowns. Yes. And the Rams to win.
You know what? I'm not
all right,
this
B. Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan.